following sermon is from Faith Bible Church, located in Murrieta, California. More information about Faith Bible Church is available at www.faith-bible.net.
So would you welcome one of those FBC welcomes to Mr. Dr. Shannon Hurley, the wild man.
All right, the wild man. Woo! Come on! Well, I'd like all those with Team Uganda to please stand. Oh, you guys forgotten. No, I'm just kidding. No, next year we're going to see a team from Uganda. Uh-huh! We want 50. None of these 20s. Let's go. We want 50. And we have room. Let's go. Come on. Who's coming? All right. Woo! Well, what a joy it is to be here tonight. Let me just introduce my family. Here's my wonderful wife, and please clap for her. And she, of all the people in life, in my mind, that deserve honor, it would be my wife, who is just unbelievable. And I think some of you ladies got a little experience of that this morning, but my wife is the most godly person I know. And so I'm just so honored to be married to her. And then I have four kids here tonight. I forget. I have four kids here tonight and a half kid. Let me just say it that way. Now, Emmett, where are you? Emmett, stand up. Yes, Ethan right there. Evan, where's Zeke? Zeke. And Zeke is some right there. Stand up, Zeke. Come on. And then I have John, who's as well my son, just not officially by law, okay? And there's Johnny. Well, what a joy it is to be here on Mission Night. Missions Night. What a joy. What an awesome opportunity. I kind of feel like I've been in the bullpen all day, and now I come in as the closer. So watch out. We're going to throw fastballs. Well, what a joy it is to be here on Missions Night. And listen, this is not about anything other than us discussing together what it is for all of us to be missionaries. Listen, in 1 Peter, it makes it very clear that God saved you so that you will proclaim the excellencies of Him. We are all missionaries. And what I want to do is come in here this evening, and I want to kind of come in with a defibrillator. You know what that is? Not that you're dead, but I want to come in and I want to shock our systems. And I want to do that by taking you back to the ABCs. Listen, I want to take you to a passage that just permeates my soul. Because the more I understand it, the more I want it to be made known. Because it explains what our lives are to be about. It explains why God saved you and why God saved me. It explains what our ministry is about. It explains everything about me. And I hope everything about this church. Too often we've seen missions as something that happens out there. But missions must be happening right here. Too often we're separating the secular from the sacred, as if our work is somehow separated from our call to ministry. It is all the same, and we must not separate it. We must unite it. We must figure out how our lives relate with God's mission. Because God did not call us to do nothing. He called us to make Him known. Amen? Amen? So open your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. And what I want to do is I want to show you four components of this passage. And I know some of you guys think off the bat, I already know this passage. Well, I want to bring this passage to life. I want to make this passage personal to you and to me. Open your Bibles to Matthew 28, and as we do that, I want to pray. Because listen, what I do up here are just words. There's no power unless the Spirit of God wakes our hearts up and illuminates our hearts. And I want to ask the Spirit of God to cause an explosion within our souls. Amen? Let me pray. Father, we come trusting in you, that your Spirit would work in our hearts and that you would just cause an explosion within our souls. Lord, that we would not live purposelessly, that we would live with great purpose, that we would have great aim in everything we do. Lord, give us clarity in our thinking, clarity in our lives. And Lord, even apply these truths personally, specifically, for the praise of your name, we pray. Amen. I want to take you back to the days of the disciples, to probably the most difficult time in their whole entire lives. Many of you know the story of the disciples. Many of you know that after Jesus died on that cross, their lives were completely aimless. They were so confused. They didn't know where to go and what they were doing. They kind of walked around in a daze. Because see, for 3.5 years, they followed Jesus everywhere he went. They gave up everything. And where Jesus went, they went. And not only that, but they had some weird ideas, or maybe even weird motivations. See, they thought that they could be someone. They thought that there was an end value in following Christ. They thought that, see, that Christ was going to reign as a what? A king, as Israel's king. And they thought that they were jockeyed in position so that when he raised in power on David's throne and reigned forever, that there they were, on the right and on the left. But Jesus died. And when Jesus died, their dreams were shattered. Not only were their dreams shattered, but they had no understanding of what to do next. They didn't know what to do. What do we do? And with that, they just went fishing. They went back to their old ways. And I want to start right there because for many of us in here, sometimes we can be a little aimless too. And we can think, well, what is the purpose of my life? I mean, I'm working, I'm doing this. What's the purpose? And I think this passage is, this section of Scripture is just important to us as it was to them. Because in this passage, Jesus comes to these aimless disciples and he gives them total direction, listen, for their lives. But in order to understand this passage, I want to show you four components. And I want this to become personalized to us here. First, I want to show you the first component, which is the background. And I want to use this to continue to build the picture. What happened was, according to verse 16, let's read the background right here. Verse 16. But the 11 disciples proceeded to where? Everybody together to where?
Galilee.
Thank you. To the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they what? But some were doubtful. Here we learn, and I lived in Israel for 4 months, and I hung out in the Sea of Galilee, and Galilee is awesome. We just need a few jet skis on that thing, and we'd be happy, right? But it's a place where there are hills all around, and then there's a sea right in the middle. And we have no idea where these disciples went, but they went on a hill. So they envisioned them up on this hill where Jesus had commanded them to go. And there they are. So we don't know what mountain, and it really doesn't matter. But there's a second aspect that's brought out here, and that second aspect is their response. All of a sudden, when they're up on this mountain, it says that they, what? It says that they worshiped, that they first saw him, and when they saw him, that they, what? They worshiped him. And you can see it. And you might think, why did they worship him? It's because some of these guys, they understood who he was. I mean, after all, Jesus just raised from the dead. And you can imagine, with total confusion, here he is. They see his hands, they see his side, and they realize he raised from the dead. And they realize this is not just a normal person. And he probably was radiating glory like they had never seen. And they see him and they worship him because they knew he was the Messiah. They knew he was their Messiah. I don't know if they were thinking, okay, well, here he comes. Now he's going to raise to the throne. And now we're going to get those positions. I don't know. But what I do know is Jesus is going to give them direction like they want. But it's not the direction that they think. And they extol him and they exalt him. They probably fell right down at his feet to give him worship. Oh, if we were there, wouldn't it have been sweet to worship Christ at that moment? I mean, you can imagine the feelings of just being overwhelmed with the moment. They probably felt like they did at the great transfiguration. Let us build a tower and just kind of sit here, right? But also in this passage, it reveals that not only did they worship, but it says that some were shocked. Why were they shocked? Because this was the most confusing thing that has ever happened. I mean, wait, this is Jesus? I mean, let me touch him again. You know what I mean? Some of them were doubting. And I love the honesty of the scriptures, don't you? I mean, if this was a book written for the purposes of trying to just create followers, it would never put this. But the honesty was there. And listen, by the end of Jesus' resurrection, I think they all knew exactly who he was, but some were just confused, figuring this out, and trying to understand what was all taking place. But as you read the story, it says that Jesus came or appeared and said. So I want you to see this. They're up on this hill. I think they see Jesus, they respond with worship or with doubt, and I think Jesus comes closer. And he comes up, and he stands before them. And listen, they were probably so quiet, waiting to hear what he's going to say. What was he going to say? And they're listening. And he comes in verse 18, and he gives this glorious announcement. And it's an announcement that we must all hear, because you cannot understand our responsibility without understanding this announcement. This is the most glorious announcement that we could have ever hear. And this announcement changes everything about your life and my life. Look with me in verse 18 at this announcement. He says these words, and Jesus came up and spoke to them. Everybody, listen here. He speaks to them, and you say it with me. He says, all what?
Authority.
All authority has been what?
Given
to in heaven, and this is the great declaration. This is the great announcement. Jesus turns to his disciples and he makes an announcement about himself. Now listen, this wasn't just for them. This is also for us, because we know that this passage doesn't, it goes till the ends of the earth. There is an announcement made here, and the announcement is this, that all, how much? All, not just a little, not just some, but all power or all authority has been given what? Given what? Given to me. Given to me. Jesus is declaring to these apostles that something has happened. Something unbelievable has happened. And what is it? I have been given all authority. You say, what in the world is he talking about? First of all, what is this authority? This authority, it speaks of a power to be in charge. It's to be given the right to rule. He's saying, listen, that something has happened. I have been given authority over all things. I have been made the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Whoa. You say, wait a second. And who gave him that authority? Tell me. God the Father. We know Philippians 2, 9 through 11. It says, for this reason also God highly exalted what? Him. And bestowed on him the name which is above what? Every name. So that at that name, every knee shall what? Those in heaven and on earth and underneath the earth, that every tongue will confess. I'm sorry. It will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, is King. You see, he's been given the name above every name. He has been made the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Woo! Now that is a child of God right there. You see, listen, what's amazing about this statement to these disciples, these disciples were hoping for just a mere earthly king. And Jesus is now declaring them, listen, I haven't been made just king of Israel. I've been made the king of all nations. Oh, man, this statement is unbelievable. I have been given far greater position than just over Israel. I now sit the throne of all thrones. And listen, this should have been obvious to them if they knew the Bible. Daniel 7 13 made it very clear. Daniel 7:13, which was written many years before this ever happened, was a prophecy that declared this. Listen to it. Daniel 7:13 says, I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the cloud of heaven, one like the Son of Man was coming. Jesus' favorite term, Son of Man. One like the Son of Man was coming. And he came to the Ancient of Days. Who's the Ancient of Days? The Father. And was presented before him. And to him was given, and to him was given, and to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom. Why? So that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might what? Serve. Might what? Serve him. Might what? I'm sorry, are you not saying? Might serve him. Say that together. Might what?
Serve.
Might serve. You say, I'm not there, Shannon. I'm not supposed to say it because I don't know what it is. Fair. That's fair. But hear it. Why was he given a kingdom that all nations, all peoples, men of every language, including Luganda, right, Johnny? Might what? Might what?
Serve.
Listen to those words closely. Listen. Something is happening that is mysterious. Something is happening that is bigger than anything in these days. According to 1 Corinthians 15, 24 to 28, and I won't look at it now, we know that something, God gives the Son this authority. This authority brings all things under his feet. And then you know what he does? He takes it all and gives it back to the Father. What is going on? I don't know. But it's awesome. But not only is it awesome, according to this passage, we participate in this great mysterious event. But it is imperative, my dear brothers and sisters, my fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is imperative that we understand this truth, that God has made, the Father has made the Son the universal King over all things. It's imperative that we understand that. That right now, Jesus is the King. It's imperative that this is etched into the inward fibers of our being, that our minds never forget it, that we see it, that we feel it, that we understand every aspect of what this is, that it's on the forefront of our hearts and it's the driving compulsion of our lives. It must be. Listen, the Bible says more about kingdom than anything. And it's because we are living in his kingdom. You see, and this is the drive behind what? Missions. This is the drive behind missions. You see, each team that goes out from Faith Bible Church, whether it's in Azusa Pacific, unique place, Albania, or New Zealand. It's all the same. Or Uganda. Let's not forget that. It is all the same. It is all driven by the same theological premise. Jesus Christ is King. Amen. And that's why he says the next words, therefore what? Therefore what? Therefore, what?
Go.
Go. You see, Jesus is stating an authoritative announcement that he wants to drive their disciples' lives, these disciples' lives, and not only their lives, but all of us who claim to be disciples. This truth needs to drive us all. Say, Shannon, what do you mean? Well, let's come to the third part. We go from the background to the announcement to the instruction. Look at the instruction. By the way, these are participles. It's go, therefore, and make disciples. That's the imperative. We need to go and what?
Make disciples.
That's an imperative. And then he's going to tell us how. We're going to go make disciples. Literally, what are we going to do? Now, let's get away from these little words and let's understand them. It's important we understand this. What is he saying when he says make disciples? What is a disciple? Ooh, a what? A follower. Check it out. I am king, and you are to go and make what? Make followers. Are you seeing it? I am the, and you were to go and make what?
Followers.
My dear friends, the heart behind missions, what drives missions, and what is to drive these disciples' lives is now this imperative to go and make followers of Jesus Christ. Go and make followers. This is unbelievable. Go and make followers. He is commanding us to do this how, you say? One, by going. Get out there, not by sitting, not by sitting, not by talking, but by what? Going. And you can go with your money, you can go with your feet, you can go with your hands. Listen, we need to get creative on how we go. But we need to what? Go. Go. How are we making disciples? By going. Going where? Look what he says. Go therefore and make disciples. Go where? Of what? Of what? All nations. Of all nations. Saying, listen, we go and get people to bend the knee to me as their Lord. Go call the world, tell the world that I am the King, and get them to bend the knee to me. Get them to surrender their lives, and you're to go to all nations, not just Jerusalem, not just Judea, but to what? To all nations, to all the peoples of the earth. And that includes Albania. That includes Uganda. That includes everywhere. Radical. Exciting. This is so important that we see this and we understand, because it's clear. We're first to go, then we're to baptize. How are we to do it? By going, by baptizing, and by what? Teaching. That's the way we do it. We go. We baptize. Why do we baptize? Because, see, we go out into the world and then we baptize. We get them to bend the knee to Jesus Christ. And then we get them to knee, bend the knee, then look and see what we're to do. We are to what? Teach them to observe what? My brothers and sisters, I want you to see this term. Does it say go and get them to pray? No. Does it say go and just tell them? Or just teach them? Does it stop there? No. What does it say? Teach them to what? Observe. Teach them to what? Observe. I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Observe.
Observe what? All that I have commanded them to do. My TC friends, my fellow pastors, elders, and members of Faith Bible Church, our mission is to not just tell them. Our mission is to teach them to what? Observe all that God has commanded. We want them actually to not just hear that Jesus Christ is King. We want them actually to what? Follow Him as King. Fascinating to me. You see, our goal is not just eloquent messages. Our goal is not to just get them to laugh. Our goal is to not get them to follow us, which is so often the case in Christian circles with our many books and all of these things, is to get followers of us. My friends, that's not the goal. The goal is to point to who? Jesus Christ. And get all people everywhere to follow Him. Listen, you say, Shannon, why does He want to reign in the hearts of all people? Because it's the best for all people. See, I live in Uganda. I came into a small village where nobody knew Jesus Christ as King. And see, we would call it a pagan society. And I can tell you what happens in a pagan society. Man doesn't marry woman. Why do that? That would be a commitment. They just sleep together and produce children as long as it's convenient. Then what do? Then they push children out of the house. And what happens? Pain and suffering. And man rules the home. And he takes a stick this long and beats his children with it because fear dominates the society. Let me take you to my village where there are children neglected. The problem in Africa is not orphans. The problem is neglected children. And why are they neglected? Because Jesus Christ doesn't reign. But you don't need to just go to Africa. We can walk down the street. Let me take you into my home that I grew up in. Let me take you to my brother who's living a homosexual life. Let me take you to him. And let me tell you that inside his heart is broken. He may never show it, but it's broken, and he needs Christ. You see, America had a Christian values, and we all have experienced the blessings of Christ reigning in America. And we are quickly abandoning Christ rule. And you know where we're going? To pain and what? Suffering. Africa. Uganda. We're coming out, baby. Why? Because we're going to declare a message that Jesus Christ is King. And we're going to declare that loud. We're going to declare it strong. And we're going to teach people to observe him, to follow after him. My dear friends, I want you to understand that when Jesus calls us to salvation, he calls us to follow him. This idea that we could say a prayer and we're saved and it never involves lordship is erroneous. If he is king, he must reign. You see, a Christian is one who follows, who observes him. They have made him Lord of all. They've made him their king. My friends, this is missions. It's declaring Jesus is king. And it's showing them, listen, I don't care who you are. I don't care what you're doing. At the end of the day, he's king. And he wants to rule in your lives. And he wants to rule in every one of your lives. See, some of you guys, you keep pushing him away. You want to do your marriage your way. Well, listen, in the end, it's pain. Release control. And observe all that he has what? All that he's commanded. And when we observe all, and see, that's what we're doing. We're teaching them all that he's commanded. Listen, biblical counseling is awesome. Because we're teaching them what the king says so they can have the blessing of the king. Young people, listen, high schoolers, you have your whole life ahead of you. You want blessing? Follow the king. Follow the king. Listen, here's a great example. The shackle. I can go right around here. The families that you want to be like, they've followed what? The king. The mission is so clear. You see, your friends at work, don't feel like you got to load your guns. Just go tell them the simple message, Jesus is King, and teach them the joy of following him as master. Let me tell you, though, it's hard. Going into the middle of Africa, we've had the first 8 years was one pain after the next. So hard. My little daughter, Elise, is going to the Master's College, and she already knows that there are people there that don't love Jesus but claim to. And she realizes, oh my goodness, I got to be disliked because I got to tell them they're not following the king? Answer, yes. But see, this comes with a promise. Look with me at the last component, verse 20, the promise. What is the promise? It says this. And lo, I will be with you, what? Even to the end of the age. He gets their attention. Hey, listen, hey, disciples, listen, behold. I, emphatically in Greek, I, myself, I personally will be with you. When? Always. Even to the end of the? You see, this went far beyond these 11 disciples. Far beyond them. It comes to the end of the what? Age. God is with you on that campus. God is with you at work. But see, you have a job. Your job is to declare to everyone, Jesus Christ is King. And teach them to bend the knee and to observe all that he has commanded. My brothers and sisters, will you observe all that he's commanded? Will you get zealous to make him rule in your life? I want to declare to you a truth that is so true that you must all understand. When we follow his way, there's joy and blessing and sweetness. When you get off his way and you get into the bush over here and follow your friends the wrong direction, there's pain and there is suffering. Jesus Christ is Lord. And let us be missionaries to declare that message where? Everywhere. Amen? Let's pray.
Thanks for listening today. Sermon audio from the last 3 years is available by podcast, and a larger archive from Chris Mueller and Faith Bible Church can be found at media.faith-bible.net. And if you would, please leave us a review on iTunes. It helps a lot. Thanks, and have a great day.